This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Maybe you're looking for ways to help artists affected by recent flooding. Maybe you're a professional musician looking to jumpstart your career. Or a high school music student looking for a unique audition. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New York-based Joan Mitchell Foundation is once again reaching out to artists displaced by severe flooding in Louisiana. Here in New Orleans, the Joan Mitchell Center, an artist residency, came to be in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Joining me now by phone to talk about the foundation's emergency support program is Chief Executive Officer Krista Blatchford. Welcome.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for having me today.
The Joan Mitchell Foundation is well known for its efforts in helping artists with their careers. How are you reaching out now to artists who may have been affected by recent flooding in Louisiana, some perhaps for a second time post-Katrina?
First of all, I've been reaching out to the arts organizations that we know, both in New Orleans and Baton Rouge, having conversations with their directors, letting them know that our grant is available for artists. We are also reaching out to the arts community of artists that we've worked with in the Louisiana area. So this is past recipients of ours, including emergency recipients of ours, as well as artists who've worked with us through the Joan Mitchell Center. And then we're using Facebook as well. Opportunities like this to talk to you are a great opportunity for us to continue to spread the word because we want to make sure as many artists as possible know that this is a resource available to them.
So how did the emergency support program come to be?
The emergency support program was actually started after 9/11. There were, as you may know, a number of artists that were in the World Trade Center in a residency program that was in existence there. And then there were a lot of artists in Lower Manhattan that were impacted. So it began as a lot of our programs began as a sort of response to immediate need we saw among artists. Obviously, with Katrina, it then became much more widely known and understood as we really did a lot of outreach. Since then, we've formalized the program more. Because the program focuses on man-made and natural disasters, we keep an eye on what's happening in our country. And whenever there's an instance like the recent floodings in Louisiana, we reach out to arts councils in that neighborhood, in that area, to ensure that they know about our resource, to ask them if there are ways that we can reach out to their arts community as well, too. So we've become much more strategic about it and hope to continue to just spread the word.
What help is available and who qualifies for the assistance?
We give small cash grants up to $6,000, which is, of course, not much when your home and studio and life has been devastated. But what we have seen again and again is that insurance frequently does not cover tools for artists. It may not cover their artwork if they were not insured in that way, and it may not cover conservation work, those types of things. We as an organization are very specifically focused on funding visual artists. So unfortunately, we don't have the ability to fund artists across in terms of musicians and other types of artists, but we're focused on visual artists. And with that, we're providing cash grants. We also are very interested in making sure artists understand the other resources that are out there for them. We have a list of other organizations. One, just to mention specifically, is called the Craft Emergency Relief Fund, SERF Plus. It works with craft artists as well as artists, and they have an incredible amount of resources on their website. They also have emergency grants. And what's great about SERF is they also offer information about how do you salvage things in your studio? How do you deal with finding conservation support? How do you deal with thinking through where you might lay your work out so that it needs to be dried? All those types of things. They're much more sophisticated than us in terms of being able to be a real resource for artists in that way. We are interested in essentially adding in the cash as needed.
Can you tell us about Joan Mitchell, the artist, and the focus of her foundation?
Joan Mitchell was an abstract expressionist painter. She was actually born in Chicago, lived in New York City for some time, but spent a majority of her career based in France. Throughout her lifetime, she was well recognized as a painter. There's actually a piece right now up at the New Orleans Museum of Art that we have on loan there. In her will, she was clear about the desire that the foundation that was being established support her legacy and be stewards of her legacy, but also direct support to artists. And that's something that is a fantastic gift to us because there are not many organizations nationally who have an opportunity to focus so specifically on support to artists. And so with Joan in mind, We have looked at supporting artists throughout their lifetime and looked at programs that are supporting young artists, programs that are supporting older artists, and sort of the in-between as well. Joan Mitchell, her personality was a little bit difficult or intense, but was very, very generous to her peer group. And there are stories that continue to return to me, though I'd never personally knew her, about how she was constantly opening up her studio for people to come and work with her, opening up her checkbook in terms of literally paying off people's debts, those types of things. And so it's a privilege for us to be able to continue to take her generosity and lead it forward into the field.
Now, how do artists affected by the latest flooding in Louisiana apply for the help that's available?
On our website, joanmitchellfoundation.org, there is an emergency grants section. If you look under the section for artists, you'll see emergency grants. They would need to send an email just to info@joanmitchellfoundation.org. And the reason we do this is it's an opportunity for us just to double check before somebody does the application process to make sure that they qualify. So there'll be an initial email with one of our staff in New York about what they're applying for. And then the application is a very simple application. Essentially, it talks about who they are, their work in the field, and how they were impacted by the flooding. We ask sort of what other types of supports we're getting. Some of this is for us to be able to know what other places we could refer them to if they haven't found other resources, but also just to understand where we might fit in the picture of support for them. The application is based on need. It's not based at all on quality of work, so we're not doing any judging of work.
Krista, is there a deadline for artists to apply for the grants available?
No, thank you for asking that question. The grants are available on a rolling basis. There isn't a time frame in terms of you have to apply by a certain amount of time. It's literally when you're ready to apply, we'll be here and available for you.
Krista Blatchford, Chief Executive Officer with the Joan Mitchell Foundation. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Diane.
More information on artist emergency support, programs, and grants can be found online at joanmitchellfoundation.org. There are additional sites offering resources to artists listed on our website, wwno.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. We turn now to the entertainment industry as a conference all about music kicks off this week. It's the 24th annual Cutting Edge CE, formerly the Cutting Edge Music Business Conference. Spokesman Eric Cager is here to talk about the hot topics and current trends in the entertainment business. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
The conference just gets bigger with each passing year. What are your thoughts about its growth?
The entertainment industry, which music is, of course, the prominent part, has become a much more sophisticated environment. So you have to tie in as many different parts of the industry in order to become successful artists and entrepreneurs. The programs that we've added this year are about enhancing the opportunities for the artists and entrepreneurs in the music industry, music professionals.
What's new this year?
We have a film series, Music in Movies, all about films that music plays a prominent role in. Musicians, music culture, great soundtracks, films that make a cultural statement. Music industry people go to movies and we listen to the soundtrack. And we say, Frampton did that in 86. Or, you know, that really was a Muddy Waters record originally. We are obsessed about music. So we wanted to do films because films in New Orleans and in Louisiana has become a core element to the growth of the entertainment industry and the growth of the music industry. It's not just about having films that are about music. The point of it is, if you are an artist, getting your music in films, in regular commercial films, are basically great paydays. They pay great royalties and they pay upfront fees. The same thing with video games. These are things that artists have to learn how to position themselves to get to be a part of that, either by writing scores or getting their music picked up by NCIS or Treme or whoever. But you want to learn how film and filmmakers and what they call music supervisors, the people who pick the film music, how they operate, what they look for, what they listen to. And then you get to meet them. And I always recommend buy them a drink in the bar. You'd be surprised. Walk up to them and just start a conversation. They come to the Cutting Edge to talk. We've added, in addition to the film, technology. That section of the industry that takes up games and apps that is used in recording studios, apps that are able to better position an artist to get their music noticed on social media. Music tech has become an important part of the technology. We are involved with the 2112 Music Incubator in Chicago, which, interesting enough, is run by a former intern of the Cutting Edge. Through the 2112 Incubator, a young guy who went to Tulane, Scott Fetters, we met the people from the Chicago International Film and Movie Festival, SimFest, and the VL Group, so that we could bring in people who had some skills, had connections to New Orleans, and were able to help us expand the programming. And then for a fun addition, we added an event called a hackathon.
What is a hackathon?
It's a competition where technologists get together, hackers, programmers, and they try to use their skills in technology to solve a social oppressing problem. So how can technology better facilitate music education, music and tourism, innovation in the music industry? So we have a music innovation hackathon mashing together the technologists and the musicians, where people will come together on Friday afternoon and will hammer out proposals. And they will break up into teams. We have close to 50 people who have already applied, and they're going to come up with an actual app, something that can actually be utilized and brought to the public.
Wow.
Yes.
For the general public, are there activities that involve just the casual listener?
There are music showcases. We're probably going to showcase about 100 acts over 3 days, probably 9 different stages, from the House of Blues to Lil Jim Saloon, Julius Kimbrough's prime example, Howlin' Wolf, Bambula, Checkpoint Charlie's, you know, even at the hotel. So the casual listener who is interested will be able to go to these showcases, listen to these artists at no cost. We are screening films at no charge at Cafe Istanbul on Wednesday and Thursday, the 24th and 25th.
How does this conference enhance the city's iconic music culture?
Everybody's familiar with the music. We need them to be familiar with the individuals, the people.
How successful has this conference been over its 24-year run in New Orleans?
We're in the top 5 oldest conferences in the country.
And the professionals are coming in from where?
Everywhere from across the country, coming in from London, Quebec, all over different components of the industry. Talent house, record producers, engineers, record label executives, people from publishing companies, entertainment attorneys, people who are involved in the industry, folks who are working with the technology companies, filmmakers, all the folks that people in the music industry now need to interface with. And what we basically tell people is you can go to the big, big events and meet one person. You can come to Cutting Edge and meet 5, 6 people. We specialize in being the best boutique music conference in the country.
Cutting Edge spokesman Eric Cager, thanks.
Thank you.
The Cutting Edge Conference takes place in venues across town August 25th through 27th. It is headquartered at the Intercontinental Hotel. More info is online at cuttingedgenola.com. An innovative after-school music program conducted by acclaimed jazz musician Donald Harrison Jr. is calling out to a younger set of musicians. The Tipitinas Foundation, working to help high school students in their pursuit of a career in music, is holding auditions for its 2016-17 internship program, a program with ties to Boston's Berklee College of Music. Joining me is Bethany Paulson, Executive Director of the Tipitinas Foundation, and former intern Hunter Bergamy. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How is the Tipitinas Foundation seeding the future of our city's music culture?
Well, that is ultimately our goal. We focus on providing opportunities in youth music education and providing opportunities for adult musicians. And the program that we're talking about today, the Tipitinas Internship Program, is one that's focused for high school students. And for the really talented high school students here in New Orleans that are interested in pursuing a career in music.
Now, how did the internship program come about?
That was something that happened pre-Katrina, back in 2003, when Donald Harrison Jr., who's the artistic director of the program, an incredible jazz musician, saxophone player who's known around the world and locally, I think he's one of our treasures, met with the founders of the Tipitinas Foundation, Roland and Mary Von Kernotowski, and they developed this program, knowing that there's so much talent in New Orleans, but sometimes it's helpful to have that focused training for students who want to take it further and take it beyond what they're learning in their school band programs. So this is a program that will really focus on preparing for that next level, preparing for college and scholarship opportunities, and making sure that they can take what could eventually be a hobby into a career.
And Hunter, you were formerly a student with this program. Tell us, how did the internship program help you?
It was a great experience to have something bridge the gap between my interest in it as a student in high school and make me really realize that I want to do that full-time as a musician.
Tell us more about your musical aspirations. What instrument do you play, and how exactly did this internship propel your career?
Well, I play guitar, and I've played since I was about 10 years old. And I was a student in OCID my sophomore year, and I'd seen my friends there going to programs all across the city. There are a bunch of great ones, and Tipitinas came up kind of towards my junior and senior year. There are fantastic programs locally and nationally that they hold for us. I mean, it really connected the gap for me to come to Berklee as well.
Tell us about that.
They have an affiliation with Berklee's city music program, and I wasn't aware of it until I got the call one day from, I think, Bethany or somebody at Tipitinas that said that they were looking. And they noticed me, and they noticed a few students, and they had this affiliation with Berklee. I hardly knew about some of the programs they had there at the time. And they said that there's this summer program, and they'd like to send some of the students. You audition, and we'll see where that goes.
And you wound up at Berklee?
I wound up receiving the scholarship for the five-week summer program there. And since I was a senior, I completed the program. I did well in all my classes and really took the initiative there. And their affiliation with City Music allowed me to do a portfolio, to do an audition, and eventually get a scholarship that kind of tied to Tipitinas and their City Music program.
And I hear you also wound up overseas.
Yes, I did. In my senior year, we did a group collaboration, Tipitinas and O'Perry Walker, to Japan for about 2.5 weeks. And it was an exchange program, playing at festivals with them and delivering instruments to the schools. It was beautiful.
And where are you today?
Well, I'm living in Boston mostly, and I'm my junior year at Berklee.
Now, how do students, Bethany, qualify for the program?
The Tipitinas Internship Program is targeted for high school students. We ask that students be between the ages of 13 and 19. It is a completely free program to the students. All students will go through an audition process. It's for the more advanced students. We want you to have some training, either participating in your band program or with a private instructor, and really be dedicated to learning more, because it is an intensive program, and we want to make sure that you're prepared for college-level courses. So we will be holding auditions on Saturday, August 27th, between 12 and 3, but we need you to call to schedule an audition. Then you'll go through an audition process with Donald Harrison, and we'll put together a class that will then study in an ensemble format. And it's a weekly program. Every Monday evening, the class will get together, study, perform together. There's a lot of performance opportunities throughout the year. There are travel opportunities. We do work very closely with Berkeley. We will have a group of students going to the Berkeley National Summit this year. We do have opportunities for those other cultural exchanges, and students get to perform at a number of venues all over town. Students have performed at Jazz Fest, at French Quarter Fest, of course, at Tipitina's. We've had students perform at the Orpheum this year, which was very exciting for them. We just try and find as many of those professional opportunities for students to have before they graduate as we can.
And how many students will be welcomed into the program?
We take approximately 20 students each year. It does depend on the instrumentation.
And what should they bring to the audition?
You should be prepared to do at least 4 major scales. You should have a prepared piece that highlights your skill on your instrument. And then you should also be prepared to do a sight reading piece that Mr. Harrison will assign.
And why is this program important to Tipitina's Foundation?
In a city where we have so many talented students, we want to make sure that all of these students have every opportunity possible. And the fact that we have someone like Donald Harrison Jr. who is leading the program, and not just as the artistic director from afar, but he is in the classroom with students every Monday evening, teaching them about what it is to be a professional musician and what it is to go on these performances and really helping them prepare for whatever their college choice may be. As Hunter mentioned, we do have a connection with Berkeley and their Berkeley City Music Program. That gives us another world of opportunity to connect students with everything from an online theory curriculum that they can use, again, at no cost, to allowing us to nominate our students for the 5-week summer program and send them to Boston to study. And those frequently lead to these 4-year full tuition scholarships that we've had now dozens of students go to Berkeley on full tuition scholarships, which is a very exciting thing, I think, for those students and for their families.
And Hunter, what advice would you give to students planning to audition this year?
That people want to see you succeed, and if you put in the work, you do fine.
That's beautiful. Tipitina's Foundation Executive Director Bethany Paulson and former student Hunter Bergamy, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
The Tipitina's Foundation is holding auditions for students interested in the internship program on Saturday, August 27th between noon and 3 p.m. Students must schedule an audition in advance by submitting a request online at tipitinasfoundation.org/tip2016 or by calling the foundation at 504-309-7934. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.